Hi everyone, welcome back to another episode of Surviving My Quarter Life Crisis. I'm your host, Monet Lewis, and this titled for second episode is called Tender Bow. So previously I've spoken about my devastating breakup from my college sweetheart of 3 years and how we decided to go on a respectable break that led to more of a disastrous turn of events. And even though we remain cordial and still were hooking up occasionally, I came to the conclusion that I didn't want to continue that part of my life, and I was embracing a new journey, more self-confidence, being more independent, changing up my hairstyle, and just part of the identity that I attached to that previous relationship. And with that, I decided I wanted to be more in control. I don't know how exactly to describe it, because in my first relationship, I knew for sure I wanted a boyfriend, and whoever I dated next, that I was going to be intentional about it. However, who I was dating, so referring to my college sweetheart, he was on a different page. He knew he liked me, but wasn't for sure that he wanted to be in a relationship with me, because he wasn't certain that he can be faithful, which we learned how that turned out. Whereas now, I want to try a different method where I'm making sure I'm being intentional and pairing with someone that does for sure want to be in a relationship. And how I made that decision is because I really wanted something different. I wanted more certainty, but I just wanted to increase my chances of success and not going back and forth with disagreement, uncertainty, not being on the same page. With that, I resorted to an unconventional method for myself, and that was online dating. And I used a popular one at the time, Tinder. Simple, you know, use your smartphone to find a mate or someone to get involved with. And I think after setting my preferences, there was about 3 or so candidates that I was interested in and that I reached out. So again, I'm telling you, I'm being intentional. Once I found a pair, like someone that had liked me and then I swipe right, I would inbox them and say, hey, depending on how the conversation was going. Usually if they're already jumping the gun and want to get my phone number, pretty much that was the case for most of them. They're like, okay, now that you said, hey, I responded, let's get to know each other outside the app. I really wanted the app to be my security. There was this one person in particular who was going the same pace as I was. We would communicate with each other regularly. However, the first month I reached out to them and then I didn't respond for like 2 weeks. Like, I wasn't active on it. It was still new. And he was like, hey, well, hello. And then I saw the notification and then we were talking more through the app. So texting more through the app. And we just seemed very similar professionals. Young professionals. I was in grad school doing my grad assistantship. Still, he was a manager in training for a retail store. Both have degrees. So he wasn't working on his bachelor's, whereas in my previous relationship, I was working on my master's and my partner was working on his bachelor's or wrapping up his senior year. So fairly similar levels in terms of employment status and goals as well. So he wanted to eventually get his master's and I was working on mine. Seemed like a nice mixture. Also, he had a different background or upbringing. So I'm originally from Brooklyn, and I'm more used to that urban, to be proper, urban lifestyle, or a hood dude, hood nigga. Whereas this one, he, most of his friends were white, but he was black, and he grew up in a more suburban area, grew up in a house. Even though he went to public school, they had more to offer at where he went to school. He grew up in Syracuse, New York. Definitely, you know, that upbringing is completely different from Brooklyn. And it was kind of evident in terms of, like, our personalities once we started to get together. So, yeah, once we decided that we both are similar in how we behave and profession, lifestyle choices, we decided let's exchange numbers. And I remember I called him first. He was out with one of his friends, and it kind of was awkward at first, especially because he really wasn't a phone person, and I really like to talk on the phone, especially because I haven't really engaged with someone on a personal level outside of, like, hooking up or my ex-boyfriend. So yeah, I really wanted to get to know him more, and I said, let me shoot my shot and give him a call. So we talked about what we were going to do for our first date, and that really was a hard thing to schedule. It did take a couple of tries, and then one day he was like, okay, you pick a spot and we're definitely going. He was very busy, very active life, always out hanging out with friends. I was more of just studying, maybe having study parties with my classmates, but other than that, I really wasn't going out too much. So our first date was at a gourmet burger shop. It was actually one of my favorite restaurants that I enjoyed going to eat prior to my new vegan lifestyle. So I no longer eat meat and dairy, but I already knew this place. It was easy to commute to. I know what I want to eat, so I felt like it was perfect. I also didn't think it was too much out of the budget, just because he was going to pay for everything. He asked me out. I really wanted to be considerate, didn't want to come off as very materialistic or gold digger, which that is not what I am. I'm actually used to going Dutch or half and half with my partners. But yeah, I can understand. He had a more traditional upbringing in that he wanted to provide for women, and that did kind of lead to a couple of clashes with us. I was more independent than what he was used to. But that's jumping the gun. So yeah. So we kept going on a couple more dates. He introduced me to his friends, which was a very interesting bunch. His best friend is actually a gay male. And he's very intriguing because he's not like the typical gay male. He's more the urban hip hop, dressing jeans and sneakers, kind of like how I am used to. So that was really nice because he brought me to a more of a center space in this new city that I was embarking on my professional career. And he was really fun to be around, especially the people he dated. So I really enjoyed that my partner had a gay male best friend. Even I know some girls are, or anyone listening, that can raise some red flags, but he assured me that he is not gay at all, but he's not judgmental on who he's friends with, and I wasn't either. I was up for the ride. So up for the ride, we went out a lot, and we took a lot of pictures, plenty of pictures. There was a lot of alcohol. And at a point, it was just too much alcohol. My partner, Tinderbell, he loved to drink and drink heavy, like whiskey, cheap whiskey, and we have a saying back at home, crack juice get you loose, or pretty much it does the job, but you know it's like the best quality, give you the worst hangovers. Pretty dangerous. And I don't know if it was because we were too much alike. We did clash a lot, especially going out. It was rare that we didn't get into arguments. Like, it was cool at first, but I was living a double life in that relationship. We were all cutesy, lovey-dovey in the pictures, but as they say, like, the process to get to that picture is not as worthy of the shot. So it was very ugly. I found a different side of me, like, and I believe it's because I really had a whole low tolerance of bullshit, especially after my previous relationship. I was like, I'm not going through that again. I'm not sitting here waiting. So we definitely broken up a couple of times, and it usually happened right after leaving a bar. But yeah, I partially knew that this wasn't gonna work out, but it looked good, and I know some people were watching me, people that knew my ex-boyfriend, and I was actually okay with having that appeal of, I moved on, I'm better without you, I'm doing good in my job, I'm getting all these awards, and I got a fine-ass man, his beard connects. He's a professional, he wears suits all the time, he chooses to wear chino pants, just the whole image. But inside, I wasn't really happy. I still thought about my ex-boyfriend from college, and those pictures were cute, but my reality really sucked. And I would say the epitome of, I realized I'm out of this shit, this relationship, this crappy ship is a bad relationship. We took a trip. So in this relationship, we did so much. I will say we had a lot of fun, constantly going out to parties and taking adventures. And he also trusts me a little bit more too. Unlike in my previous relationship, we didn't spend much time away from each other. Whereas in this new relationship, I was able to pursue an opportunity. I went to China for 2 weeks alone, minimal contact on phone. At first, he wasn't happy about it, and I personally did not want to share that I was signing up for the opportunity until I got it. But we survived that, and it was nice, and we had a few trips lined up. We had a Boston trip for his birthday because he is a Leo. And then, so that was in July. I returned from a China trip in July, and then we went to Boston for his birthday. We went with one of his girl best friends that he grew up with, and she and I remained close. We were building a relationship. And then in August, we did our Caravana trip. Still in Toronto, which is right across from Buffalo, which is where I live now currently. So this trip to Caravana in August, it was gonna feature us as a couple, the girl best friend, his guy best friend who's gay, because he was really interested in like pride and all that stuff. I think it was around the same time. Pride and Caravana, or I could be confusing it, I don't know. His brother, so the guy best friend's brother, and then his friends from back at home. So it was like a mixture, like two and a half friend groups, because the girl best friend, she and him were good. I don't know if you can kind of get the gist of it. So basically two and a half, so she's the half, and then the Buffalo crew and the Syracuse crew merging together to have a fun ass week I think it was like 4 or 5 days. 4 to 5 days in Caravana. Parties lined up back to back. Like, we saw French Montana, Cardi B. All that was so cool. Okay. So, we're all together. Him and I are definitely rooming together. And then pretty much everyone else was, like, up for grabs on what rooms. We had, like, 3 rooms that we rented. And we had pre-purchased all the party tickets. First party we went to was the time. It was lit at first. We all pre-game and we all each got our own bottle. And once we get there, my dude is like extra, extra, extra lit. Like, it was kind of too much lit. Now, in Caribbean culture, from what I understand, like, everyone can dance, they're grinding, you know, rubbing the waistline and the buttocks on a male's pelvis, all that stuff. And I'm okay with that. I'm okay with dancing and doing the grinding and stuff. What I'm not okay with is, like, too much groping and, like, fast. There's definitely a line. Like, you can kind of, I'm pretty sure you know the difference when, like, oh yeah, we know, we just dancing, it's cool, nothing, leave it at that. But when you leave room for speculation, like, yeah, hooking up and all that, that's when it crosses the line. So, like I said, my man, he was extra lit, I was lit, and he already started, like, dancing with girls. Cool. But then he started, like, daggering, which is, like, dancing really aggressively, like, humping. And I was like, you know, I really don't want to see all this. Like, it's too much. And I'm already coming from an insecure place where not feeling valued in my previous relationship. I'm already in this new mood of, I'm independent, I'm a badass bitch, ain't no one gonna fucking stunt on me. So me and the girl best friend, I pulled her, like, listen, girl, let's go. We're gonna go to the middle. This nigga's here. This other dude's here. I'm bad. We looking good. We popping. Let's, you know, show out. So, it didn't take long before somebody wants to dance, especially when you're a woman and you show that, like, oh, I want to dance. I'm not stuck up. I'm not being stush. Let's go. Let's get it. Let's have fun. People were dancing, we were having fun, we snapping everything, showing our faces side to side, waving our hair. We purposely purchased wigs for this event because it was going to be so lit. Like, we had different personalities. I can't even remember what was my fake name. Oh my god, what was it? Oh, my fake name was Aaliyah. My fake name was Aaliyah. I had a blonde bob. Like, I was really feeling myself. And that was her first time ever wearing, like, extensions. Like, again, she grew up in Syracuse. Not saying Syracuse girl don't do that, but, like, predominantly white area. I want to say she's biracial. So she has very looser texture. So she pretty much wore her own natural hair throughout her life. Never had any extensions. What I mean, had braids, wigs, side parts, extensions. You name it, and in my own afro. So not only am I getting attention from all these dudes, like, we forming this nice circle, like, everyone wants to be around us. Look who wants to show up, my man. He wanna now wanna be all on me, trying to hug and be lovey-dovey. Like, no, get away from it. There's no time for this now. Now it's show time. Like, I'm showing out, you were showing off, and I'm gonna need you to pull away. And once he kind of got the sense that I wasn't trying to deal with him, he was like, ugh, like, he just left. He went somewhere else to occupy his time. So me and Shorty, we still kept dancing, my homegirl. And eventually he came back and he, like, pulled her to the side and said something to her. And she kind of was, like, acting weird ever since. And so then we eventually left the club. She and I drove there together, and all the guys, they drove separately. Once we're in the car, she kind of, like, hints that something really went down, like, something inappropriate, and she was like, I don't really want any drama, because she knows every time we go to a party it's some bullshit. Him and I get into an argument and we wind up breaking up, and it's a bad vibe. No one wants to be around that. On top of that, in a whole nother country, when we all have parties lined up, we just want to be there for a good time. So I'm like, I don't know what the hell's going on. I'm just being chill. So now we're like getting ready to go back to the hotel, but no one knows where my dude is. Like, they don't know where he is, what happened, who he left with. Did he leave with the Syracuse crew? Because the Syracuse crew kind of was like not really fucking with the Buffalo crew. Like, they didn't really want to hang out with us. Like, they were kind of more of on the uppity side. I told you, you know, I don't know what it is. Like, just suburbs and urban people. So we all wind up going home. My man did not come home, or didn't come in the hotel room and sleep with me. He stayed the night out, which was really weird. Eventually in the morning he came back, and he kind of acted like he didn't really want to talk to me. Like, he was acting really weird, and we had, I think it was the parade that was next. So we wind up going to the parade, and this time we're all driving together, and I already knew what's up. I kind of have a sense, like, you know, he did some dirty shit. I could tell how he was already dancing, but I'm not gonna push it. So eventually he's like, so you're not gonna talk to me and all that. I'm like pushing on his head, like, what the hell is going on, what happened? And I'm just like letting him tell his side, like, I'm not making any assumptions. His friend didn't tell me anything. Like, I just want to know from you, like, what's up, what's going on? And then basically he kissed another girl at a party. I don't know who it was, and honestly I didn't want to know. A part of me feel like it was one of the girls from Syracuse that came with, but I couldn't be certain. And that really turned me off. I'm like, how the hell you get so drunk? Like, you know for sure it wasn't me, but it was like in the moment. I don't give a fuck what the fuck it was. Moment or not, I mean, yeah, I was showing out and all that stuff, but I was following your lead. And on top of that, I'm not kissing no one else, especially in no other country, knowing, you know, everyone is like traveling together. Like, we were supposed to be better than that. Especially our past of just toxic behavior, especially partying. I wasn't doing that, so I was really pissed off. But then more things started to not go in my boyfriend's favor while we were out there. Heading to another party, he was driving the vehicle, like, we all carpooling and pre-gaming, and as we're driving, it was like a lot of traffic, and he rear-ended someone else. Mind you, he's driving his friend's car, the guy friend, he's driving his car for him and taking us everywhere we need to be. And the other car that got hit was like, I need to see, you know, information, let's exchange information. He wasn't hearing nothing, he didn't care. It was like a love tap. He wanted to do the whole shebang, call the police, all that. And he was like, well, I'm in the CID. He was like, fine, I don't have a problem. Mind you, my boyfriend's friend is like, I'm not responsible for this. Yes, it's my car. The car is, like, I'll give you that, but this, none of this is happening for me. So he was like, okay, I'll give you my information, I have no problem. As he's looking, scavenging through it, he can't find his ID. He can't find his whole wallet. That shit gone. Now, we done went to 7-Eleven, bought like slushies, all kinds of stuff. We made so many different stops. Who knows where his wallet is? Now he's really tripping. And the girl and I, we were like, okay, we'll go back and go look for your wallet. Because he was like too good. Like, he really was a cocky, stuck up dude. He was too good to go back, and honestly he needs to stay by the scene anyway. So we go back, we look at the garbage can, because, you know, we discarded some stuff, threw out the trash from like previous meals, and couldn't find it, couldn't find his wallet. Eventually the police came, and she and I, we kind of like stayed away, and we stayed at the 7-Eleven, tried to search, asked the clerk if there was any possibility that they may have saw his wallet and all that while the guys were dealing with the police. Eventually the police was allowed them to be excused and to drive away. The guys picked us up, and by then my boyfriend was no longer driving, but he was definitely pissed off. He was so pissed that he started really acting outrageous. Like, he didn't even want to drive with us. He was just going off, and he was like, fuck everybody. He didn't say any person specifically, but the fact that he said everybody, including me, he didn't give a fuck about my ass either. And I'm like, you know, he just digging his grave. Like, I just was like turned off by the way he was carrying himself. Especially like, yeah, I understand him and I are not on great terms because of the kiss, but I didn't do nothing to him. But what really got me was how he was talking to the people that were down for him, like his childhood friend, which is the girl, and then his best friend, who been holding him down, been his ride or die ever since he came to Buffalo from Syracuse. So like the way he was just talking about the people around him that really cared about him, he was just like so adamant about connecting with the other people from Syracuse. And it was like, this is how you act around your real friends, but you know, those are people from the past, and all you have in common is the past. Like, they haven't really been kept up with you, and you don't. It was just really a turnoff. Eventually, he manages to like get out the car while we're like in mid traffic, and he just walks away. Mind you, we're in another country, we all don't have the greatest service, honestly. We need Wi-Fi to communicate with each other, but he found his way back to the other folks, and he spent the rest of the time there. And by then it was like one more party, and then it was time to go. And I told you, we all pre-purchased these parties, but it was like, how the hell are you going to get there without his ID? We all still going. I think this is when we wound up going to see Cardi B. We all still going, like, shit, we pay money for these. So some of these parties is like $55, $50, $40. I was still going. He said, fuck all y'all, remember? So we went to the parties, and once it was time to return to the hotel, we did. And to get out and return home, we packed up. We packed his bags. I personally packed his bags for him, even though he didn't show up the night before. So again, don't know where the hell he is. He kissing bitches. He fucking catching attitudes. Didn't know what the hell he was doing. And he was definitely showing signs that he didn't want to leave with us. And we're like, you know what? We all came together. Let's leave together. He did not want to come. And then his Syracuse friends was like, well, what do you expect? He lost his wallet. He works in fucking HR. Like, it's really easy, like, to get his IDs and stuff sent over to him. So it really wasn't a big deal. Like, you're still safe. You still got your life, even though you hopping out of cars and cursing people out, acting like no one could touch you. You still good. You still got your life. And your friends are still here wanting to help you out. But we don't know what we can do to assist, you know, his grievance without him communicating with us. So long story short, we wound up going to like a day party. And after the day party, we each went our own ways. The guys went their way and the girls went their way. So me and the girl, his best friend and his best friend's brother. But my man, he didn't leave with us at all. None of us, as we headed back to Buffalo. So once I get across the border, got back to my apartment safely, thanks to Shorty, I sent him this nice, beautiful text letting him know that once he returned, because I still have stuff in his house, I would like to get those items and pretty much start initiating the process of this breakup. And I'm like, I hope you get to your destination safely. Leave it at that. We do get together and we have a conversation, and he explained to me why he was really upset about the loss of the wallet. Outside of just the money and the cards, because those things are replaceable,
But the things that were in the wild that wasn't replaceable or are irreplaceable was a family heirloom. I think it was, I don't know exactly what the figure was, but it was something that his grandma gave to him that was a remembrance of his grandfather, and then also a picture of his mother at a time where I guess she was at her best self, because he never really talked about his relationship with his mother. I never got to that point to meet her, and by then we had reached 6 months. We were approaching 6 months of dating, so from January to August, we started in February. Yeah, so 6 months. So we officially claim our relationship in like February. So he talked and talked. I let him talk, but I had already made my decision. It was really distasteful what had happened in Caravana and the parties and what he had expressed to me. And honestly, I would never know the information if he didn't share it with me, but there was still other moments that led to my decision, and that was just too much of the arguing and him drinking, and he wasn't really prepared to stop. And I'm not in no position to be controlling anyone's lifestyle, but if I'm going to be with them and I feel my life can be in danger because I don't know how far we can go with the argument. I mean, we were raising our voices. I was definitely raising my voices, and I'm really not a confrontational person. I try to avoid confrontation. I have pushover tendencies where people take advantage of me, and I feel like that was a point where I'm being taken advantage of because I'm being too kind, and I started speaking out against it. Like, I'm already enraged from a previous relationship. I have a low tolerance of anything that's not going in my favor or how I perceive what this intentional relationship, like, again, I was intentional in choosing him, intentional in deciding to date him, and I thought he was too, and that we really wanted something to be successful, and we really weren't practicing the behaviors of communicating. Yeah, we're yelling at each other, but we're not really listening to each other. We're just responding to be right, and that was really important. And I was very clear, like, at this point, I can't speak to you. Yes, I understand you're very sorry, but, you know, do right by the next woman. That's what I kept saying. I hope that you can just do right by the next person that you come across and put that forgiveness and apology of being empathetic to someone else and just do right by her. I'm like thinking of the next one for the future, like, because right now I'm done, I can't handle it. And we wound up, or I wound up not speaking to him until the following January. So let's see, from August, so that's for like 5 months I wouldn't speak to him. Nothing. I think he hit me up a few times, but I didn't really want to be bothered at all. I couldn't. Yeah. I will say, though, out of all the guys I've ever dated, Tinderbo, he was very professional. And that's the reason why I wound up reaching out to him later on. And that was because he really had his shit together in terms of the professional. He was a bad boyfriend, but he was a good professional person. He knew how to handle his business, hold down a job, switch jobs when need be. He was definitely a fighter, a strong person, a very strong personality, and I admired that. What I didn't like was how that personality could interfere with being a person, being lovable. And I still don't understand why he did what he did. He would really like shrug it off and say, I'm an asshole. And he used to say that in the beginning too. Like, I know I'm a piece of shit. And you have to listen to people when they tell you about themselves. Like, when they describe who they are as a person, those silent characteristics, pay attention, because I
am a strong believer now that people show you who they are. And when they say love is blind, it's because you're being blinded by the things you should see because of what you want to see, what you want to achieve. And I knew I wanted something to be successful. And because I wanted to be something so successful, I was doing everything wrong. Taking pictures, constantly going out, being unhappy, not certain of what I wanted from this relationship in terms of like being a passionate person, being lovable. And my partner was doing the same thing. He probably was convinced because he was the one that did ask me out. And I kind of felt like it was too soon. However, this was the first time a male asked me out and wanted to be with me first than me trying to initiate it. So I felt like, okay, here's someone that is actually on the same page, that they know for sure they don't want to fuck around, they don't want to be casually dating, they really want to be with me. All right, I'm jumping on the first opportunity. Like, you ain't gotta ask me again, I'm on it. However, it wasn't right. It wasn't time. We really needed to get more time to get to know one another. And had I known more about like the whole alcoholism, I'm saying alcoholism because he doesn't believe he's an alcoholic, and things have changed where I believe it was a little bit more moderate. He's drinking more moderately now, or more controllably, now that we are like friends. But then the alcoholism was too much, and it not only brought a bad side out of him, it brought another ugly side out of me. And that's not what I wanted. I wanted to be on a path of love and success and happiness. And that was in the way. And that's when I really made that decision. Like, I can't be a part of this toxicity. And once I got to the point where I felt I can really come to him and talk to him about how I felt throughout the relationship and why I needed to get away, I reached out as a friend, not trying to jump into a relationship again, but just really get to know each other and learn who he is as a person. And he wound up being all right. Like, he is nice, and he has parts about him that I want to learn for myself. And that's not giving a fuck about what people say about me and talk shit. And so he's become more of a mentor in terms of like profession. And I'm going to talk more about that, on how I sought more advice and how I struggled in my first job, transitioning out of grad school and professional world, in the next episode. But yeah, so shout out to Tindabo. Even though we didn't work out as a relationship, but turning out to be cool friends. Thank you so much for listening, and stay blessed and stay tuned.